Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. On Tuesday last week, Republican and Democratic officials, along with residents in North St. Louis County, gathered at St. Sin Park in Hazelwood to mark the expansion of the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act, or RECA. It was a landmark moment for people living near the Westlake Landfill and Coldwater Creek and have spent years raising alarm about the high number of illnesses associated with radiation exposure. Health impacts have ranged from cancer to organ failure, and activists have contended those sicknesses point back to actions taken more than 50 years ago by the federal government, which dumped radioactive waste from the Manhattan Project throughout the St. Louis region. Don Chapman and Karen Nickel are co-founders of Just Moms STL, a group started 12 years ago to advocate for restitution and cleanup of their communities. They join us now to share what this moment means. Don and Karen, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Now, I mentioned that the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act, or RECA, this for the first time is a program that includes several zip codes throughout the St. Louis region, 21 of them. Where were you when you got the news, and what was your first reaction, Don?
So we had spent days watching very closely as this big bill was making its way through. We had heard that RECA was in the big bill on the Senate side. It had to survive the Votorama, so we were up all night watching it, and then it hit the House, and we were up that night as well watching it. So for 2.5 days, we didn't sleep. We just babysat our bill and eagerly waited to make sure it survived. And it was just a moment when we found out it survived. It was kind of shocking.
Mm-hmm. And when you say we, I mean, were you, Don and Karen, together? Were you?
No, we weren't.
No. So what was your reaction for, you know, with this news?
So once I realized that it had passed, Dawn was actually on her way to my house and thought that she only lived 6 minutes from me, thought that she would have time to get there and then, you know, we would find the news together. But that didn't happen. It passed on her journey over, and I opened the door and she looked at me, I looked at her, and we just kind of stared at each other and we were like, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we didn't know whether we should laugh or cry or be excited or, like, it just, we couldn't believe it.
Yeah. I mean, you all have been working together for more than a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And for most of that time, you were not having much of a time getting politicians to listen to you. And here you are now. In looking back on those years, was there a turning point of sorts, Dawn?
I think the turning point for us would have been when the school district sent out a letter basically warning parents living around Westlake that there could be an event at the landfill that could be catastrophic and that they needed to prepare the kids and whatnot and make sure that, you know, if that happened, you know, that they were, as families prepared and that the district was prepared. It became real then. But then I think there's a couple more moments throughout that it becomes real, and this is one of them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the weight of the entire history of the Manhattan Project in St. Louis suddenly sits on top of people's shoulders in their head.
Mm-hmm. And that district is the school district?
Is Pattonville, but there were 8 school districts that sent out letters around, so it was pretty massive.
Mm-hmm. Does that sound about right to you, Karen?
It does.
Yeah.
You know, for, I don't know, probably the first 6 or 7 years or maybe longer, we were looked at like we were crazy housewives. You know, not only from elected officials and agencies, but also from community members.
Mm-hmm.
They were very apprehensive.
Yeah.
And now that the RECA program has come out and it's passed, you know, it's an apology. It's actual truth now that the government has come forward and said,
mm-hmm.
we did harm you. And so that sits differently with people now. You know, it's a real now.
And what does that validation mean to you? Karen, your children are
grown, right?
Yeah, we went through this process for both Dawn and myself where our kids were, you know, little.
Yeah.
And for Dawn and myself, validation doesn't mean what you think it does. Because we have this program, that validation, it means people were hurt. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard to process.
There are a lot of details in this expansion of RECA. So let's talk about some of the basics. Now, for people in 21 zip codes in St. Louis, those who have illnesses related to radiation, they're looking at a $50,000 lump sum payment. And family members of people who died could also receive $25,000. Such a compensation, I mean, what impact would that have on your lives, Karen? And I mean, is that adequate?
So my family doesn't even qualify for RECA. You know, the illnesses that I have and family members, you know, you have to have one of these cancers to qualify. Well, I'm thankful that we don't qualify. You know, there are families out there that are struggling because of bills that they've had. Some people are losing their homes, their cars, because they don't have the resources. When you get cancer, it's expensive. And so this money can help with groceries. It can help. I mean, this could turn people's lives around. Mm-hmm. So, you know, while $50,000 or $25,000 isn't enough money for a life, you know, our lives are priceless here. It will save lives, and it will compensate people and help them out. But it's also that truth and that acknowledgement that you were harmed.
Mm-hmm. You both hosted a public meeting last week with residents in those zip codes, and about 70 people showed up. Dawn, did that number of attendees surprise you?
I think more than the people that showed up in person was the number of online participants that were watching. You know, we're up to about 900 people commenting on that live video. And, you know, as Karen said, they're resonating. They're reading the list of illnesses, and they're seeing family members. They're seeing their children. They're seeing a lot of stuff. And so we're trying to help them, not only, as you explained, understand the different tiers of compensation available through this program and the zip codes, but honestly, from a mental health standpoint, helping them process the fact that, yes, this happened and the government is saying we did this and we're sorry. Mm-hmm. That apology is felt, you know, for them. That some of them are saying, you know, I can begin to heal now because I have them admitting they did this.
And what was the feeling like in that room, Karen?
I think there was a lot of mixed emotions. You know, these are people that are trying to understand, you know, that some of them didn't even know what RECA was, you know, that it has existed for so long that just we weren't a part of that program. And there was some apprehensive conversations happening that, is this really going to happen? Is this real? So there's a lot of education that still needs to be done as we push this out to the community. But I also think that there was a lot of tears and a lot of emotions going with that, because for the people that have lost their loved ones, and especially for those years ago who had already come to terms with that grief and have processed that feeling of, okay, well, my grandpa died of this, and to find out that they actually died of something that the government had done to them reopens all those wounds. And that is a level of mental health that you kind of have to start reprocessing all over again.
Mm-hmm. And Dawn, during that meeting, you had asked attendees to raise their hands in response to a question, right? Mm-hmm. And that question,
I wanted to know how many of them had illnesses or knew of somebody that had illnesses that qualified, but also how many had illnesses but they weren't on the list, because obviously that's a hard thing. My family is in the same predicament that Karen's in. My son is very, very ill from this, but he is not covered. His illness is not listed. And, you know, again, to Karen's point, we're thankful. When you look at this list, these are very serious cancers. And, you know, this is not the type of thing that, you know, when you get that sort of diagnosis, it's life-changing forever to have that kind of illness.
We're talking today with Dawn Chapman and Karen Nickel, the co-founders of Just Moms STL, and we're discussing their reaction to the expansion of the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act, or RECA. The program now includes St. Louis zip codes and makes people in those areas eligible for compensation for radiation-related illnesses. So we talked about how long you all have been working, you know, advocating, raising awareness, trying to get the attention of politicians. So there is now a feeling of validation, but there's also the pressure to act quickly. But as I understand, the application for this compensation still isn't open.
Correct. The Department of Justice is actively working on that. We got an update this morning from Senator Hawley's office. They're having those conversations. You know, this is going to happen. And I think what I would tell people is, for as hard as we push for this program, you have to know that we pushed for the follow-up as well, that we were not going to walk away the moment we got this. We were going to take it and push as hard as we could to make sure that the Department of Justice enacts these applications swiftly. But to date, there is no application. There's nothing for you to fill out. Do not fill out anything online right now.
Mm-hmm. Because there is a lot of stuff online, right, Karen?
There is.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you go to the Department of Justice website, you know, there is information out there, but that doesn't pertain to us yet. So steer clear from that, and also steer clear from lawyers or anybody that tells you that you can qualify today and they can get you money, they can fill out the application for you, because that process just is not there yet.
Mm-hmm. Were you expecting these scams? I mean, you all are very adept at waiting actively. Were you prepared in some way to see this?
We were. You know, we're part of a larger, broad RECA coalition of other states and communities, some that have already had RECA and some that are just now included. And so we did our homework, spoke with them, the type of scams that they saw, what they did about them, how they were able to head them off. And a lot of that was through their attorney general's office and just making sure there was some sort of a hotline for people to report questionable.
Mm-hmm. People. And some of those things, as I see, is that attorneys are calling people claiming that they will process these RECA cases for just 30% of the payout. And there was someone also at the meeting who talked about, I think you had referred to this earlier, Karen, about his sister saying that she'd already filed.
Yeah, there was someone there that had claimed that his sister had spoken with someone that had already said that he was qualified and that they filed, and that just isn't true.
So one of the things that that is true of this, you know, Karen, you've mentioned, like, RECA is something that has existed, and it's not just communities here in St. Louis. They're not the only ones affected by this expansion. At the press conference last week, you were joined by members of the Navajo Nation, including Maggie Billiman. Now, many members of the nation lived or worked near uranium mines in Arizona.
Many of my family had died of disease caused by the radiation, including my father, Howard Billiman Jr., who served our country as the Navajo code talker, and my mother. I couldn't save him. I promised to fight for RECA and his memory.
That was Maggie Billiman speaking last week at a press conference that marked the expansion of a program that compensates the victims of radioactive contamination. Her father, Howard Billiman Jr., died of cancer. Don, you know, clearly listening to this even in recorded audio form is bringing up emotion for you.
This was really, really hard to get this program going, and we worked with Sweet Maggie for a couple years, and I think that the harm in the historical context of what happened in the Manhattan Project, not just in St. Louis, but in her community, and the fact that this is the daughter of a code talker, begging for not only his justice, but hers and her people's. And I just, you know what? when she told me when she handed Senator Hawley that photograph, she turned around and looked at me and she said, now they have justice and now they can rest.
Mm-hmm. Karen, what was it like for you, to share that moment with Maggie from the Navajo Nation and with others?
Emotional. You know, we've been walking alongside of them for 2 years now, and watching them fight the same kind of fight that we've been fighting, waiting for the same things we've been waiting. And it's just, you know, it's just so extremely hard when you know that there are other people out there suffering like we have. And sometimes it's in a much more difficult kind of suffering. Mm-hmm.
There was so much at stake for the passage of this program, not just St. Louis, but as we got to know Maggie and the Navajo Nation and President Nygren and all the other communities, the weight of every meeting, of every trip to D.C. we took, 10 trips last year, we're not just carrying St. Louis on our shoulders, we're carrying their weight. We were able to get there more often than they were, so we were having to speak with their folks, their elected officials as well, and educate them. And it just, you don't want to let the daughter of a Navajo code talker down. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted this for not just St. Louis, but her so bad.
Mm-hmm. We have Jerry, who's calling from O'Fallon with some personal insight. Jerry, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you. I spent 30 years in two of the zip codes, and have lived in a third for about 23 years now. In addition, I worked in and around Lambert Field for most of my career. I had 14 years ago, I endured two cancers, the cause of a lymphoma and kidney cancer, and both have been associated with exposure to radioactive and or heavy metal pollutants. Unfortunately, I did survive those. One was a very rare mantle cell lymphoma. About 6,000 or 7,000 cases a year in the world are diagnosed. And 3 months after I was, a neighbor kid from my original neighborhood was diagnosed as well. But I do want to point out that having worked around Lambert, probably going back 40 years, there used to be a quarry league field adjacent to, I guess, the west or northwest end of Lambert. And overnight, that was nothing was ever said or publicized about it. But it was went from being four ball fields to, you know, having a barbed wire fence around it. And I think even then, the government or certainly someone was aware of the fact that there was radioactive material that was in the area. So I'm kind of glad it's been a long time, but at least it's been acknowledged. And hopefully the program will work out as designed. So anyway, that's just my comment. Thank you.
Jerry, thank you. And we're very glad to hear that you are you're in better health now. So these kinds of observations that people have made over time, the lived experiences they have, the expansion of RECA is one very positive step forward. But what is it that comes next? Because you all are not done, right, Karen?
We are not done. We do have to follow through and make sure that this program is utilized through the community and getting the word out. There's still a lot of education that needs to be done. We do need to follow through with the Westlake Landfill cleanup that's going to start in 2027. The Westlake Landfill still has groundwater that needs to be addressed. And then all over North County, there's still cleanup happening through the Army Corps of Engineers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of work that still has to be done mm-hmm. in North County. You know, the RECA compensation is great. It's an acknowledgement. It's a compensation. But because that is a program that's going to happen, it doesn't take away the reason it's happening.
Mm-hmm. Don, as we close, what is it that the government needs to do, you know, to step it up? I mean, they've come to a certain point. What now?
I'm going to say this. Before the federal government, the local governments need to step up. This is real. This has made your people, your constituents sick, and you need to get out there and you need to help us reach these people, because we've carried this as Just Moms STL as two moms. We've carried this now for 13 years. Now that you have documentation this is real and it has made your people sick, you need to finally stop being afraid to talk about this. As that gentleman just referred to, everybody who played on that field should have known that that's why it was closed, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Enough of the secrecy. Help us get the word out. Help us get these people the help they need.
What could they do, these local officials?
So we're creating a website that is generic that anybody can share, that's going to help people figure out how they can get access to the type of documentation they're going to need to be able to prove that. You can help share that. You can host meetings. We will be happy to come and speak at any town hall anybody hosts. But that is, they need to use their current elected platform to send out any sort of newsletter or anything and mention it and talk within mm-hmm. to the constituents within their base.
Get it out there. Don Chapman and Karen Nickel are two of the co-founders of Just Moms STL. Karen and Don, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on this step in the process.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about what it took politically to arrive at expanding the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act to include Missourians. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
This is St. Louis Public Radio. Support comes from Parrot Corporation, a general contractor seeking professionals who want to make a difference in the community. More at parrot.com/careers.
Welcome back. I'm Elaine Cha. On July 8th, Republican U.S. Senator Josh Hawley gave a victory speech marking the expansion of the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act, or RECA. That program opens a pathway to compensation for thousands of people affected by radioactive waste dumped in the St. Louis region more than 50 years ago. Adding RECA to the Big Beautiful Bill took some serious legislative maneuvering, and last week, in that moment of celebration, Hawley called out the assistance of former Democratic Representative Cori Bush.
Here's the truth. Cori Bush and I, we worked together hard on this thing, and there was a time, a year ago this month, when the majority in the House of Representatives tried to undermine us. They tried to move a short-term extension of RECA that had no expansion, nothing for anybody who is here today, nothing. Mark my words, if they had done that, that would have killed this effort. It was an effort to kill it. And I still remember the day that I got the news, and we had like a very short notice. It was one of these deals where I tell you how the House works. They put a little notice up on the calendar about something they're going to vote for in short time. I saw that notice pop up and I said, we're in big trouble. If this thing passes, we're in big trouble. Who's the first person I called? Cori Bush. I got on the phone. I said, Cori, we got to do something. I said, we got to do something. They're trying to steamroll us. And Cori said, I will get every Democrat to stand up against this. I said, I will call all the Republicans who are standing strong on this. And you know what? We stopped it. And because we stopped it then, we got it passed last week. And so here we are today. So Cori, thank you. Thank you. We would not be here without you and your work.
That was U.S. Senator Josh Hawley speaking last week about the expansion of RECA and referencing the help of former U.S. Representative Cori Bush. His statements highlight the unusual level of bipartisan support behind this issue. And to talk about how that happened, I'm joined by St. Louis Public Radio politics correspondent Jason Rosenbaum. Jason, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Jason, Cori Bush and Josh Hawley are typically not political allies. What struck you about their collaboration on this issue?
Well, I was at this press conference, which was really an extraordinary press conference. I don't say that sort of statement lightly, but hearing all the people talk about how the radioactive waste had exposure had affected their lives, it's hard to walk away with that without feeling the emotion and being affected.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what was notable about that exchange, it was unprompted. Like, Josh Hawley didn't have to do that and say that, but I think that him talking about the like ideologically diverse coalition that got this across the finish line really showcased just how popular this idea and how needed this idea was. Like having everybody from Paul Gosar, who's probably one of the most right-wing congressmen from Arizona, to former Congressman Cori Bush, who's part of the squad supporting this. Like, I don't think you can get more bipartisan than that.
What do you think accounts for that?
Well, I think that there's a couple of things. For the left, it's environmentalism and the fact that all this radioactive waste was strewn across the country, either in a situation like in St. Louis where it was just dumped indiscriminately, or in the American West where it was like the byproducts of nuclear weapons testing. Like that had real environmental impacts, and I think that it really strikes to the core of like what a Cori Bush believes in, since environmentalism was a big part of her service. And I also think on the right, it's about righting the wrong of a federal government that was seen as unaccountable. And I think that is really attractive to somebody like Josh Hawley or a lot of other people on the right.
Mm-hmm. There is another perspective on this, Jason, and it involves the One Big Beautiful Bill. Illinois Representative Nikki Buzinski told STLPR that expanding RICA was a backroom deal to get the needed votes to pass a very controversial piece of legislation. Now, Buzinski suggested that Missouri was included in RICA and Illinois was not as part of that legislative deal-making. Does she have a point, Jason?
I'm sure she does. I mean, when you're talking about something as enormous as the Big Beautiful Bill, there's certainly a lot of thought processes that go along with it. I don't think that diminishes the importance of getting this passed, though. And I understand that there's a lot of mixed feelings about this. Like, there are a lot of controversial things in the Big Beautiful Bill, especially involving Medicaid, that a lot of the people that were standing behind Josh Hawley do not like. But I think that what Josh Hawley said, and I think he's correct on this, is his view was like the way this was going to pass was being attached to something that was going to pass. And I think especially when it got the support, especially someone like Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, this was probably going to be the vehicle that was going to get something like this across the finish line, because doing it as a standalone bill just didn't work. It just didn't pass that way. And sometimes as a legislator, you got to think strategically. And I think that's what Josh Hawley did.
Mm-hmm. Well, Hawley previously expressed pretty deep skepticism about the legislation and had things to say about cuts to Medicaid that would cause harm to his constituents, people who would lose health coverage, you know, the closure of rural hospitals. But he ends up voting for this. I mean, as far as that goes, what were you hearing from people? What was your sense of whether people felt like the decision he made was one that in the long term is best for the greatest number of people?
So what he has said to me and to also St. Louis Public Radio Sarah Fentum is that he still doesn't like the fact that the medical provider tax is going to be restricted heavily in 4 to 6 or 7 years. And that's what the biggest Medicaid cut are being referred to when we talk about this. Mm-hmm. He says he's going to try to undo it. I don't know if he will. He has a few years to try. I don't know if that's going to be sufficient to the people who felt like the Big Beautiful Bill wasn't worth passing. I know he's engendered a lot. I know he's encountered a lot of criticism for making the statement about how he wasn't going to vote for any sizable Medicaid cuts. But at the same time, he has kind of a pathway or desire to try to reverse the worst of them. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I also don't think it's impossible, especially if there's a Democratic Congress and a Democratic president in 2029 when the biggest cuts are going to go into effect, or you have a Republican president that doesn't support the medical provider tax cut. So that's a complex, a convoluted answer to your question, Elaine, but I think to sum it up, yeah, he's facing criticism for it. And he says he's going to try to reverse the worst of the cuts. We'll have to see if he can follow through on that.
Mm-hmm. Is there a future, you think, for more bipartisan action on this issue such that, you know, there is an expansion, again, of RICA to include places like Illinois?
Yeah, when the Democrats retake the House, like they're expected to next year, I think that's a good opportunity for someone like Nikki Budzinski to get that past the finish line. I don't think Josh Hawley would be opposed to that. But I also think that, like, there's going to have to be a change in political leadership for something like that to occur based off her statements and based off my own back of the napkin calculations. But even Josh Hawley said this is not the end of adding places to RICA. And I asked him specifically about Illinois, and he's more than amenable to that.
Mm-hmm. I want to end with a question that sort of brings us back to people again. What was it that struck you about the presence, that is, of members of the Navajo Nation?
Well, I think the fact that they traveled to Hazelwood for this ceremony, as well as some other people from other states too, I think really just showcased just how needed this was and just how important it was that this got over the finish line. And this was more than just a bill passing and a program being restarted and expanded. This, as you mentioned in the last segment, was an acknowledgement of wrongdoing. And I think it was important for not only people from the St. Louis region to be there, but from a lot of different parts of the country. It was really powerful. And I think it just showcases, again, not only the ideological coalition, but the geographic coalition as well that got this across the finish line.
Jason Rosenbaum is STLPR's politics correspondent. Jason, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.